Think back to Alex Williams, the 9-year-old whom Annette Leroux studied. His parents believe in concerted cultivation. He gets taken to museums and gets enrolled in special programs and goes to summer camp where he takes classes. When he's bored at home, there are plenty of books to read, and his parents see it as their responsibility to keep him actively engaged in the world around him. It's not hard to see how Alex would get better at reading and math over the summer. But not Katie Brindle, a little girl from the other side of the tracks. There is no money to send her to summer camp. She's not getting driven by her mom to special classes, and there aren't books lying around the house that she can read if she gets bored. There's probably just a television. She may still have a wonderful vacation, making new friends, playing outside, going to the movies, having the kind of carefree summer days that we all dream about. None of those things, though, will improve her math and reading skills. And every carefree summer day she spends puts her further and further behind Alex. Alex isn't necessarily smarter than Katie. He's just outlearning her. He's putting in a few solid months of learning during the summer months while she watches television and plays outside. What Alexander's work suggests is that the way in which education has been discussed in the United States is backwards. An enormous amount of time is spent talking about reducing class size, rewriting curricula, buying every student a shiny new laptop, and increasing school funding, all of which assume that there is something fundamentally wrong with the job schools are doing. But think back to that second set of statistics that showed what happened between September and June. Schools work. The only problem with school for the kids who aren't achieving is that there isn't enough of it. Alexander, in fact, has done a very simple calculation to demonstrate what would happen if the children of Baltimore went to school year-round. The answer is that poor kids and wealthy kids would, by the end of elementary school, be doing math and reading at almost the same level. Suddenly, the causes of Asian math superiority become even more obvious. Students in Asian schools don't have long summer vacations. Why would they? Cultures that believe that the route to success lies in rising before dawn 360 days a year are scarcely going to give their children 3 straight months off in the summer. The school year in the United States is, on average, about 180 days long. The South Korean school year is 220 days long. The Japanese school year is 243 days long. One of the questions asked of test takers on a recent math test given to students around the world, for example, was how many of the questions they were asked in algebra, calculus, and geometry involved subject matter that they had previously covered in class. For Japanese 12th graders, the answer was 92%. That's the value of going to school 243 days a year. You have the time to learn everything that needs to be learned and less time to unlearn it. For American 12th graders, the comparable figure was 54%. For its poorest students, America doesn't have a school problem. It has a summer vacation problem. And that's the problem the KIPP schools set out to solve. They decided to bring the lessons of the rice paddy to the American inner city.